Welcome to New Wine Church, where we believe that we have been set free to love God, to love people, and to love life. Our vision is to see the people of the world living under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, saved, healed, and delivered. Be blessed as you sow the seed of this message into your life.
Isn't it wonderful to have him in our midst? Well, everyone in team sends their blessings and their love to you. And I just want to share a few minutes testimony before we come in the word to encourage you of what God is doing at the east gate. And he's opening up the north gate.
Amen.
So he's extending our tents. New wine is flowing in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The Spirit is just doing what only he can do.
Amen.
We've been really blessed in having this woman come into our midst a couple of years ago, and she just ran with the vision. And the Lord's taken her up to Caithness, 15 minutes drive from Wick. And we're up there prayer walking, just raking through every spirit that is hovering there that is not of God. And we will be having a new wine church in Caithness. Praise God. So please be mindful of Carol in your prayers, her and her husband James. James is not in the kingdom yet as her husband, but he's on his way. So be mindful of them, because Caithness has been a very difficult area. The occult has had a real grip there, but we're believing that all that will be broken.
Amen.
And that the people of Caithness with effect.
Jesus.
In Jesus' name. So be mindful of Carol and James. And be mindful of us and Taylor as well, as we just see God's miracles just coming to pass. We've had a young man from Ballintore, been a Christian for 20 years, and God has just filled him with the Spirit. And nearly every week, he's having a testimony of healing.
Amen.
And all he does is just hold somebody's hand and say, "Be healed in Jesus' name."
Wow.
And he's seeing God move. There is an assistance to that move. Of course there is. But we are more than overcomers. We're more than conquerors. So we're not to be disheartened by things that appear not to happen, because God is making things happen. And we are entering into a new season. A new season that in God's eyes is not new. It's not new. But it's new to us. And he's opening up these ancient wells. And we're just seeing his power set loose in the highlands. It's just really exciting. So if you turn with me to Colossians, and this is Paul writing to the Colossians, and we're going to pick it up in verse 27, Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Well, we'll go back to 25. Listen, David. He became a minister according to the stewardship from God which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as I have not seen, my faith in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, be knit together in love, and attaining to all riches, the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And I want you to do a wee bit of homework and read through the rest of that chapter and underline from verse 25 the word in. In. It is mentioned so often, you know, that we may be presented every man perfect in Christ. The mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom we are hidden. In whom are hidden all the treasures. In. As we go down, verse 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it. Turn in 9, but in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Verse 11, in him you were also circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sin of the flesh, as a circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through faith, in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Yes. Guess what the title of the message is today? In. 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 It's exciting to really see what God is saying to us. You know, before I go any further, I'm not going to turn this into a political broadcast, but, you know, it's interesting that we are here, you know, on the last Sunday before the referendum, and I believe that the Lord is really encouraging his people to really question yourselves by saying, what is the best for Scotland spiritually. We need to keep our eyes off what is happening down here. Keep our eyes on him. What is best spiritually? And I just want to share some recent prophecies that there's been for the nation of Scotland, just to show you how much Scotland is on God's heart. Chuck Pearce in January of 2013 gave a prophecy for the UK and particularly for Scotland. And it was about Scotland rising up to be the nation spiritually that she's meant to be, that she always was, but has been asleep. Sharon Stone, another, she's an American, she's a prophet to Europe, living in England, and she gave a prophecy at the Glasgow School of Prophets earlier on this year for Scotland, and how Scotland has been the first nation to cross over into this heavenly realm, spiritually. It's already crossed over. Now, this is a spiritual thing. And I believe that politicians have picked up of this in the spirit somehow. And they're running with it in an earthly way. But we are already independent. We are in Him. We're dependent on Him. And that's the best independence we'll ever have. So we need to rise above all the stuff that's going on down here. And that's where I want to ask you for you to hang on to the word in. Because it's so relevant and so important. You know, we have already crossed over. I was just so excited when Johnny phoned and he said that he was going to be seen on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus said, let us cross over to the other side. He's on the other side. God says we're on the other side. We've crossed over. Hallelujah. You're excited. It's wonderful. We're on the other side. You know, it was in back in 2010, I remember opening up to the Glasgow Herald and there's the map of Scotland and it's that lovely bright yellow that takes me. And I thought, yes! Scotland under the glory! This year of greater glory. Glory. You know, it's so precious. Such a precious, precious time. And such a privilege to be part of what God is doing in these last days. You know, it's humbling, but it's so exciting. So exciting to be part of it. You know, we need to really stay in the Spirit. Stay in the Holy Spirit. And just speak life into those around us, into our brothers and sisters across denominations. Because God doesn't see the denomination. He only sees His people. He sees His remnant. His church. So let's get over ourselves and forget our doctrine and just stay in the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Stay focused on Him who has brought us freedom. Brought us freedom. Brought us into that total dependency on Him. Total dependency on Him. You know, God has been encouraging me over the last few years to really explore a new way of understanding the Bible, of getting out of the Western mindset and understanding a bit more of the Jewish roots and the Jewish mindset. Because the Old Testament and the New Testament were all written by Jews. Some of these Jews may have written it in Greek, but the Greek was coming from a Jewish mindset. And we in the West have just been eating this Greek Bible, really. But to know the God of the Bible is a Jewish God. A God that is working through His people with that mindset. And it's all about His. It's got, and that's the difference between the Hebrew teaching and the Greek teaching. The Hebrew teaching and the mindset, it's all about God. The Greek is all about man. And it's always been me, myself, and I. And what's in it for me? And what, am I going to have status? Or am I going to have this? Or am I going to have that? It's not about me, and it's not about you, it's about Him.
Yeah.
About Him. So So we need to start looking at our Bible in a new way, in a proper way. But you need to do a bit of work to do that. You need to start doing a bit of Hebrew studies, and you think, I'm not sure. The Holy Spirit will guide you, open the Word up for you, will send the right people into your life who they have already had revelation of. And it's just so exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, going back to that word in the first what is the first word in the Bible?
In
the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning. The first letter of the Hebrew language is an interesting one. The language itself is very pictorial. It's not just a letter as we have an English letter. It is that, and it's also pictorial. And it is shaped. It's shaped a bit like this. The realm of the revelation to mankind. And here you have Jesus, the God-man. Isn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm. And you get in this, you're in him, you're in here, well, and it gives you clear access into his courts.
Glory to Jesus. Well.
And you can come straight back down into this realm and impart what you've received in this realm to your brothers and sisters down here. And you can teach them how to come into this realm. You come into this realm of the Spirit. You know, the two realms were connected by the humility of the body of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, yeah.
And in him, we have that same connection. That same connection. You know, in the booklet that Johnny has written on rebuilding the church from the ground up, you know, we have to get back to these basics. Get back to these basics. Get back to these ancient wells. Our ancestors touched on this. They dipped their toe into this. You know, we can swim in it. We can do more than dip our toes. We can just get in there and go with it and flow with it. You know, God is just so generous in giving us this access into his throne room. We sing lovely songs, you know, we enter the courts with praise and thanksgiving. But do we? Do we? Or do we just sing nice songs? You know, you ask yourself, why is nothing happening? Why is this so hard? Why is, you know why? Because we're not worshipping. in spirit and in truth. Uh-huh. And we need to worship in spirit and in truth. And I believe that God is saying to us this morning, you have to stop singing other people's songs.
Wow.
You have to start singing the song that He gives you. You need to come expecting a new song. My friend Judith, who is ministering in Tain today, is a wonderful worshipper. And God has given her this one note. Just one note. And He gave her a picture that this, she's Welsh, so she's got a strong singing legacy.
Mm-hmm.
But He gave her a picture of this note being like a bridge, where this one note will come and all the other notes will dance on it.
Wow.
Is that lovely?
Yes. Yeah.
Is that lovely? So we need to spend more time in just worshipping in spirit. Yes, it's lovely to sing these songs, and God downloaded them into these individuals in, you know, in spirit and in truth. But we can so often just redeem them down to just a nice song. So we're not going to throw out the baby with the bathwater, so to speak. But we need to. You know, it's lovely today to have freedom to move. And you have all this stuff. You know, I was sitting in 2 weeks ago. If we as a church have to go underground, what are we going to do without our laptops and our projectors and all our paraphernalia? What are we going to do? We're going to say, oh, we can't worship. You know, we've got a bunch over there that are breaking through a bit for long enough. There were some people who wouldn't come to New Blind Church Team because we didn't have a worship group. There's no musicians. And they felt a bit self-conscious in a small group to sing a cappella.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my goodness me. We've heard some excuses for not coming to church, but that was like, I never heard that one before. But we need to get over ourselves. Quite frankly, I couldn't care less whether you think I hold a tune or not. By the time we get to heaven, is that joy? Because I'm worshiping Him. I'm not looking for glory in my good voice. Or my bad voice as a king. But God's given me a new song, hallelujah.
Yeah.
A new song. And we need to just stand firm in who we are in Him. And not worry about anybody else. Not worry about. You know, there isn't an office of worship leader. There's no such thing. But we've created this.
Yeah.
Myths. We're all called to be worshippers.
Yes, yes.
All called to be worshippers. So we need to just get in there and not to be so self-conscious. Because what are we focusing on when we're self-conscious? Self. How do I think? How do I look? It's not about me, and it's not about you, it's about Him. And when we have that full understanding of who we are in Him, the rest will just fall away. And that's what's got to happen.
Amen.
Before we see the greater glory.
Wow. Yeah.
So we have to worship in spirit and in truth. You know, I have to have a wee giggle to myself from time to time when I say it myself. I'm not pointing the finger at anybody because what I do is more than say pointing back. But you say, you know, oh, someone's okay with during the time of worship. And that is always meant when we're singing. You know, it's not about, worship isn't just about singing. hold of this. And the only way we're going to grab hold of it is knowing who we are in Him. In Him. Worship means, in English, worship. And we worship by the Spirit of God. It's in Philippians 3, verse 3. And we worship with a proper heart attitude. We worship in truth, according to what God has revealed about Himself in Scripture. We were the first century church engaged in all these devotional acts of worship. In Acts 27, there was communion. Communion is part of our worship. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very important part of our worship. We're remembering Him, remembering what He has done for us. But when His final words, when He said it is finished, it is finished. So whatever is going on in our lives that may try and hinder us, Christ is saying this morning, it's finished.
Wow.
It's finished. We need to stay in that place. Prayers were part of worship and are still part of worship. That's in 1 Corinthians 14. And then in Ephesians 5, verse 19, we come to the song. And we sing to Him. And we sing to one another.
Mm-hmm.
And He sings and dances over us. Mm-hmm. Let's not say so.
Yeah.
As we're worshipping Him. Mm-hmm. Our offering, our tithe and our offering is part of that worship. And we worship within. We're giving back the tithe, we're giving back only a tenth of what He's given us. And we're giving an offering out of the abundance of our heart. That's worship. Coming around His word is worship. It's all worship. The word of God being proclaimed is worship. The word of God being spoken over individuals' lives, over villages, over towns, prophecy. You don't have to have the office of prophet to go and prophesy. You don't have the office of prophet, but you can still prophesy. You can proclaim the word of God. Singing with both the spirit and the mind in order to understand that part that you play is so important. Because we all play a part. Preaching and teaching are a major ingredient of true worship. And there's so many scriptures that have come from that. So worship isn't just about singing, but it's part of it. So sing. Sing freely. At all times. You know, when the devil is really trying his best to create havoc and you get all stirred up, and you go, stop it and start singing. It's a hard thing to do at first, but the more we practice it, the easier it becomes. Because you can't do both. You can't praise God and be angry with whoever's upset you, you know. Just sing. Sing. Sing to yourself. Sing yourself happy.
Yeah.
Sing to one another. One thing, you know, we've got a young couple who've had real, this is her third pregnancy, and she's had a real history of bad pregnancy. And the doctors are confounded. This pregnancy is just going to be, because every time they come out with a bad report of what's happened before, she just praises God. Just sings.
Hallelujah.
She goes back, and there's a good report.
Sure.
And then they try and come up with something else.
Amen.
The last time it was going to be diabetes. She sang all the way into Redmoor. Tests done, no diabetes.
Amen.
And it's been 7 months of all these things. And it's testifying to God's glory.
Amen.
And that's going to be, that is the key to glory. That we, as His children, in Him, can step out of this earthly realm into His courts with praise and thanksgiving. And just sing in the Spirit. Practice. For, you know, imagine, we think we're doing well if we do it for maybe 5-10 minutes. You think, oh, that was a bit quick. You need to get in there and just do it for as long as it takes.
Hallelujah.
So that you're transported into that heavenly realm. And God will show you things. That he, and commission you to go and do certain things. And you think, that's a bit crazy. But He is in control. And when you know who He is and how rooted you are in Him, no matter how crazy it is, He will not put you to shame.
Isn't
that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
That we have that power. So how are we going to see His power manifest in this place? By being in Him and worshipping in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. It's a simple message, but it's a profound one. And it's one that we have to meditate on. You know, when you come to the table, from today on, come and let take just a little crumb. Come and meditate on what He's done. Come and take a piece of that bread that you can chew on, that you can meditate on, that you can remember what He's done for you, so that you can be strong. And that you can be filled with thanksgiving and with joy.
Hallelujah.
With joy. Because it's in His joy that we find our strength. It's not in the happenings that make us happy, because they don't last very long. They come and they go. But His joy sustains us and keeps us strong. So whatever is happening, we can go forth, remembering what He's done. This covenant is so important. You know, we might have our disagreements, our little, but we're in covenant with one another. And that covenant is not to be broken. And we need to stand and not allow any spirit that would come and divide us to try and break that covenant. Because it's an everlasting covenant.
Amen.
Not just a covenant with Him, it's a covenant with one another. We've all broken covenant. We've all taken covenant together as a body of believers. And don't let that dirty devil rob you of any of that goodness in that covenant over this coming week. That's why it's so important to do this every time we come together. It strengthens us. Strengthens us. So that we can, you know, walk out there in unity and in truth. And when you meet your brothers and sisters from other denominations, that you can love them and hug them. Don't get into debates of theology and nonsense. Just love them. Just love them. And we will see the glory of God.
Amen.
And as you believe, it's so strategic that Donny and Katrina are in Israel.
Amen.
This last week.
Amen.
You look at the Jewish calendar. It's an exciting time. It can be scary if you're not in Him. But if you're in Him, it's exciting. There's opportunities that we need to be open to, that we need to just move and do what He shows us. You know, Jesus did nothing that He didn't see the Father do. So we need to enter these courts and see what He wants us to do.
Yeah.
Lots of voices out there. But when we see Him, we see the Father. And the Father in His glory will show us how we are to manifest His glory as His sons and daughters on the earth. We're entering a new age.
Yes,
Lord. Not that age. not a new age, but a very old age, and it's got no power anyway. But we're entering a new age of the children of God, and we're coming into sonship.
Amen.
That we are the sons and daughters of the Most High, manifested in this place.
Yes.
What a privilege. What a privilege. So I just want to just close with that. I could go on, but we just need to wait on. God has said we don't need to say. So we'll have a time of worship and ministry and so we can get into our habits of seeing things without thought. We sing without thought, we speak without thought. We need to let the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that is down here, come up and let the wind of His Spirit come. And I push that in a minute ago. God bless you, Sarah. I say, we're let it do it. We're in worship. We're in worship. And just let the Holy Spirit flow. And in that time, there'll be ministry. And you didn't say anything about if the Lord shows you something, that maybe somebody else will be blessed somewhere. This is the body of Christ. You can all minister to one another.
Amen.
We're ministers of God.